Hey, y'all. Welcome to tonight's program. Hi, it's Mike Malloy. Thanks for tuning in. We will not be here next week. Brad Friedman will be sitting in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It's the last chance we get to take a break before the end of the year, so we're going to take it. Be nice to Brad. He will provide five excellent programs on the Malloy program, on the Malloy Show. Who's the guy? Let me see. The incident commander at the so-called station fire, the one that's burned 150,000 acres and is responsible for the deaths of two firefighters. The commander, the incident commander, Mike Dietrich, says that this is an act of domestic terrorism. Domestic terrorism. Now, who is known for committing acts of domestic terrorism in the United States? The last big one, of course, was Timothy McVeigh that took the lives of 168 people. I think this is exactly what the report from the Department of Homeland Security 4 or 5 months ago was warning against. That these insane people, the neo-fascists on the right, the Republicans who have flipped out, the ones who are terrified that the President of the United States is going to address school children, the ones who are convinced that an attempt to rein in health care costs, make it a little bit easier, more competitive for people to get insurance, is somehow acting in the spirit of Adolf Hitler. The ones that carry guns to town hall meetings, the ones that go with automatic weaponry where the president is speaking, these crazy sons of bitches are the ones responsible, in my opinion, for the fire. I would not be surprised to find out that somebody who had a copy of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion in their back pocket, or a book of racist information about those damn Negroes in the other back pocket, or somebody who used to be a Klansman, or an NRA board member, perhaps. Yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Or somebody that works for Jim Inhofe out in Oklahoma, or one of the teabaggers, or one of the birthers, or one of the deathers, or a whole group of them, decided, hey, it's a perfect opportunity, man. It is California. Let's go get all the fruits and nuts out there. Let's set a big-ass fire. I'm pretty convinced that this act of domestic terrorism, that's what it's called by the station fire. It's called the station fire. The incident commander, Mike Dietrich, he said, I believe any act of arson in the wild is domestic terrorism. Now, who usually commits these massive acts of domestic terrorism? Bill Ayers? No. Some goddamn hippie? No. Usually it's a crazed right-winger that has been pushed beyond the limits of their little tiny lemur brains by people like Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Crazy Eyes Michelle Malkin. They are the ones who usually push people into to commit acts of terror. I wonder, like the guy who, remember Bernard Goldberg, who wrote the book, The 100 People. In his book, it talks about the 100 people that he liked to kill or he liked to see dead or something. And then the guy who walked into the Unitarian Universalist Church and opened fire, and after he had left notes or something, or I don't know, did he commit suicide then? Most of these sons of bitches are that cowardly. But he said he was trying to get all the people in Bernard Goldberg's book. You think this is far-fetched? Get real. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and make a statement right now that when they find the person or people who started this horrendous fire that so far has destroyed, I don't know how many homes. How many homes have been burned up here? Well, I know it's destroyed 230 square miles of land since it started. 8 injuries, 2 deaths, How many houses are burned up? I don't see here. But there has now begun by the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department a homicide investigation. And I'm going to go on the record tonight and say that, if I have to change it when they find out who did it, I will. But I'm absolutely convinced that the people who started this are right wingers, probably people who listen to Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Michael Savage, and the rest of these poisonous snakes that infest the airwaves, both television and radio in this country. It's an act of domestic terrorism that fits in perfectly with the kind of destruction that Beck and the rest of these bastards want to bring to the country. They want to see the country collapse, implode, because they know they're safe. Every one of these talk show hosts are multimillionaires, and they talk to unemployed workers as though they were the champions of these unemployed workers, or retired people, as if they really had the interest of the retired people foremost in their minds, right? It's astonishing that, again, I've said that so many times, that these people are allowed to continue to broadcast. These are people who want to destroy America. Beck wants to see this country fold and collapse. So does Limbaugh. Limbaugh's been pushing for that for 20 years. Limbaugh hates America, as do the rest of these people. They despise it. So now they're setting it on fire. They tried to set it on fire rhetorically or figuratively, and they got pretty close, but somebody's got to strike a match. Somebody's got to pull the trigger. Somebody has to throw the first Molotov cocktail. And Beck and his scum-sucking ilk understand that. They would never do it because they are not dedicated revolutionaries. They are cowards. Cowards. They're like Goebbels and Himmler and the rest of the thugs whose rhetoric resulted in 50 to 75 million people on the globe dying. Beck, Limbaugh, Hannity would have fit in perfectly in the Third Reich. But that was then. This is now. So I wonder which one of the right-wing talk show hosts, and let's not forget that skunky G. Gordon Liddy, who slips around under the radar talking about assassinating people and killing his own mother. Let's not forget him. But I wonder what one of the right-wing radio talk show hosts said the right combination of inflammatory rhetoric that sent somebody off his or her nut to do that, to start an inflammatory response. So I'll call it right now. When the perpetrators of this fire are found, you will discover that they are right-wing, crazy people, probably fundamentalist Christians, as they are now defined by themselves, not by me, but by themselves. People trying to scour the land of hippies, liberals, queers, abortionists, and left-wingers who are bound and determined to fulfill the directives issued every day, border to border, coast to coast, in very thinly couched language, of Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and Malkin and the rest of these monsters. So, the first act of domestic terrorism in the month of August, perpetrated by people who listen to right-wing talk radio, count on it. And I wonder what's going to come next. What kind of inspiration do you think the Hannitys and the Becks and the rest of these bastards are going to make pop up like poisonous mushrooms? What do you think's coming next? Speaking of Beck, we have a, what do you call it? Montage of Beck's Madness coming up right after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. In an attempt to exorcise Glenn Beck out of my head, Jesus Christ, we focus a lot on him this week, haven't we, the past 2 weeks? Mainly because he's a psychopath and he makes me nervous. Not him, like most right-wing psychopaths, he's essentially a coward. But not just essentially, he is completely a coward. But he inspires people who are just over the edge enough to do very bad things. So that's the reason we focused on him. He's just an absolute nutball and, you know, a multi-million dollar crazy person who, and I keep stressing the money these guys make because, I just want the brain dead, knuckle draggers out there to understand that these people have nothing in common with you. I mean, if you think they're your champion, you are crazier than they think you are. So anyway, in order to exercise the Beck out of my head, Kathy has been so kind as to put together a Glenn Beck montage.
The lunatic is on the ground.
Do you know who I am?
The lunatic is on the ground.
I'm gonna lose my mind today.
I'm tired of being a sheep. We're going to transform into something. I am a clown. They all select their words first and then tie them all together into one word. Obama, the left, internationalists, graft, acorn, revolution and hidden agenda. O-L-I-G-A-R-H. I don't know if we're turning into an oligarchy or what we're turning into. Got to wake up! Barack Obama's making people faint and cry, and he's drawing people in. I don't want to have to live with security and walls. You think I want to live that way? Do you think I want to get on the air every night and tell you this stuff? I am tired of being a victim. I'm tired of being pushed around. You gotta know you're not alone. You gotta know. You gotta unite. And here are the onion domes of Moscow, and it's very peaceful here. Oh, down here is, looks like Karl Marx. I am a guy who just, I just want to have laughs and fun. So you have the hammer and the sickle. You have the artwork to Mussolini there, here in New York at Rockefeller Plaza. And in plain sight, for all these years, during the height of the Cold War, hammer and sickle and the fascist Mussolini carved there in Rockefeller Plaza. Then you have disease. This is disease. Right above syphilis is right here. Oh, Rockefeller. I will give you a plan. I will tell you exactly. When will we listen? I am willing to forego the cheap satisfaction of the radical pose for the deep satisfaction of the radical ends. It makes sense that you feel a little uneasy and everything seems to be a little hidden. It's not if you look. Are white people poisoning people of color? Yes or no? I'm trying to show you the things that seem to be hidden, but they're not. They are out in plain sight. Those with eyes will not see, and those with ears will not hear.
You people don't care about the trillions.
You're awake. You need to see the things that are hidden in plain sight.
He might be the Antichrist. Odds that Barack Obama is the Antichrist. Get off my phone!
Do you know who I am?
Glenn Beck, in his own words, produced by our executive producer, Kathy Bay. I hope that winds up on YouTube someplace. We're going to play it again next hour, and we'll play it a third time, third hour, with the full and certain understanding, the clarity of thought that comes from listening to Glenn Beck explain things that not everyone who listens to this program listens to all 3 hours. They don't? Oh, my God. So next hour and third hour, we will replay that. And I hope somebody who is real good with graphics will put that up. How long does that run? 4 minutes? About 4 minutes? Kathy, that may... It didn't work that time. He's still running around inside my head, but maybe by the end of the show tonight. Podcast trivia when we come back. Phone number here is 877-996-2556. Trivia on the Mike Malloy program. Our winner tonight will receive a free 1-year subscription to the Mike Malloy free downloads of the program, podcasts, if you will, commercial free for the next 300 and some, I don't know, programs. All you have to do is to correctly answer the question that we will give each of our contestants until we get a winner. Let's start with John, who's in Los Angeles. John, you ready to play?
I'm first of all, yeah, I'm glad to hear you talk about the station fire, and I hope the listeners think of that and Katrina and 911 at the same time.
Now, that would be a little overwhelming, but I get the point. All right. You ready to go?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Okay. For a free 1-year subscription to Mike Malloy podcast downloads, answer the following question. What reality TV show will former House Speaker Tom DeLay appear in this fall? Is it A, Big Brother, B, Megan Wants a Millionaire, C, Dancing with the Stars, or D, The Biggest Loser?
It's got to be D, The Biggest Loser. Dancing with the Stars.
Which is it?
Huh?
Which one?
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars. All right, there you go. You win.
I don't.
No, we didn't want you to say what his title should be, The Biggest Loser. But
like, you, anyway. I don't do computers, so I don't need the download. I thank you very much for allowing me to win.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot for playing. All right. Let's see if we can come up with somebody who wants to win. I guess I should ask that question. Mike is in Fargo, North Dakota. Mike, how are you?
Hello. Great. How are you?
Good. Do you want to win?
I want to win.
Okay. Now, if you,
Tom DeLay would be how to exploit little children on the Mariana Islands.
Wouldn't that be awful?
That's just. All right, enough of my humor.
All right, here we go, Mike. Answer the question, and you win a free 1-year subscription podcast download. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, there's an awful lot of static. You can hear me okay?
I can hear you okay.
Okay, finish the Bush quote. This is what Raisin Brain said shortly after 9/11/2001. You know, I was campaigning in Chicago, and somebody asked me, is there ever any time where the budget might have to go into deficit? I said, only if we were at war or had a national emergency or were in a recession. Little did I realize we'd get the A, jackpot, lottery, trifecta, or farm.
Can you repeat them? Yeah.
Okay. Jackpot, lottery, trifecta, or farm?
I'd say the lottery.
The lottery. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't the lottery. Oh, my goodness, how quickly we forget. right? It was the trifecta. But that's okay. That's all right. Thanks a lot for playing, Mike. We appreciate it. All right, moving right. These are not hard. David is in Selling Grove, PA. Is that right?
Yeah, it's Selling Grove, PA.
Selling Grove, PA. All right. Do you want to win, David?
Sure.
Do you have a computer?
Yeah, I got a computer, a couple of them.
Okay, all right. So you can operate a download, right?
I most definitely can. I am an empty-headed knuckle brain, but I can operate a download.
Good. All right, here we go. David, according to Bush in his 2002 State of the Union address, three of these nations formed an axis of evil. Which one did not? North Korea, Iran, Iraq, or Libya?
Libya,
that's right. All right, way to go, David. You have won. And I think we have winner music here. There's the winner music. All right, David, stay on hold. Kathy will, what happened to the winner music? It disappeared. Kathy will take the pertinent information. All right. Another winner on the Malloy program podcast download. All right. Stick around. David, don't hang up. Kathy will get the information and tell you how to do this. All right. We'll do that again, bottom of the next hour and the bottom of the third hour of the program tonight. So the plan is to give away three free subscriptions to the Malloy podcast. The war in Afghanistan certainly is going to hell, isn't it? What was the latest news today? A NATO airstrike. You notice how the American press now reports it as a NATO airstrike rather than an American or a U.S. airstrike. It's NATO. That kind of removes us, we Americans, from whatever horrific, hideous pain and guilt we might experience if the news organization said an American airstrike on a pair of hijacked fuel trucks today killed at least 90 people, a mix of Taliban militants and civilians. A mix. That sounds like a bridge game. We had a mix of people there the other night. Yes, we did. A couple of Protestants, a Jew, and a Catholic. And we had a great time. A mix of Taliban militants and civilians. What happened? A couple of fuel tanker trucks were hijacked, I believe. And the trucks were taken someplace where some of the fuel oil was given to the Taliban, some to local residents of villages. The trucks were disabled, and they were sitting there with a huge crowd of people around them when the airstrikes occurred. Nearly, according to local Afghan officials, nearly half the people killed in the airstrikes were civilians. They had rushed out to the fuel trucks to get some free gasoline, I guess, or whatever they were carrying. Investigators are trying to determine who was at the site and whether a mistake was made. She said, the spokeswoman, who's the spokeswoman? Captain Elizabeth Matthias of the International Security Assistance Force. She said a local NATO team is already in Kunduz province conducting an investigation with Afghan forces, and another team from the central office is on the way. She said, Captain Matthias said, because of the prevalence of reports of civilian casualties, we don't want to be seen as ignoring the situation. We don't want to wait. If something happened, we want to apologize. Jesus Christ. If something happened, 90 people blown to pieces, reports from whom say that half of them were Taliban and half were civilians. Well, goddamn, that's just the way it goes in war, right? War is hell. You got to blow up those Talibaners, and if some men, women, and children get in the way, well, If something happened, we want to apologize, Sergeant Mathias said. General Stanley McChrystal, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, the guy who is known for running assassination teams, is, according to his public affairs officer, following the investigation. His public affairs officer, Lieutenant Colonel Tad Schultes, said in an email to CNN, General McChrystal, takes the possible loss of any innocent life seriously. And while he will not rush to judgment on the facts, he is following the investigation very closely. End quote. Which means you can't trust these goddamn mountain people. You can't trust these towel heads. So you get some reports that 90 people were blown into blood and bone. Well, maybe so, maybe not. Come see, come saw. Collateral damage. What do you know? What? What's all the investigation? What's all the excitement about? Jesus, God, we're way out here in this mountainous country that's been around since Genghis Khan, or was it Kublai Khan? No, it was Genghis, I guess. Or was it Alexander the Great? Or maybe both were handed their asses here. But we are going to bring freedom, peace, and democracy to these poor folks, the ones that we don't kill. Brigadier General Eric Tremblay released a statement that said the International Security Assistance Force, that's us, I guess, will do whatever is necessary, the general said, to help the community, including medical assistance and evacuation as requested. We regret any unnecessary loss of human life, and we are deeply concerned for the suffering that this action may have caused to our Afghan friends. Indeed, we, we'll do whatever's necessary to help the community. You know what would be a good idea, Brigadier General Eric Tremblay? A good idea to help the community would be maybe to stop bombing them, stop blowing them up, and get your ass out of Afghanistan. I bet that would help the community, at least insofar as their, to us, crazy traditions are concerned. Will the women have to walk around in burlap bags again? Well, maybe so. Will the little girls be denied education? Yeah, I guess so. That's part of traditional fundamentalist Islam, and actually fundamentalist Christianity, too. But, you know, for the fundamentalist Christians who live here, there's those damn state laws about kids going to school. But I'll tell you what, Brigadier General, maybe a good thing to do would be to leave Afghanistan. You remind me.
Because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. So the some of the leading lights in the so-called International Security Assistance Force, that is what NATO calls itself. That's what the some PR firm here in the United States came up with to with which to identify the murder and slaughter going on in that sad, almost Bronze Age country, Afghanistan. We call it the International Security Assistance Force. Security assistance. Assisting whom? Hamid Karzai, the corrupt, election-stealing thug that we placed in power and now can't get rid of? Is that whose assistance or whose security we're assisting? Apparently so. Speaking of Karzai, his people issued a statement saying he had ordered a delegation to the area to investigate the incident and report back to him as soon as possible. Wow, look at all these investigations. Gosh almighty, I'll bet you even the Red Cross, the International Committee of the Red Cross is going to be over there. Let me see, we've got two military investigations, one corrupt government investigation, and probably the ICRC will go investigate. Who else could investigate? Maybe the Chinese will send somebody to investigate. It just begs investigation. When you blow up 90 people or more and injure another 60 or 70 or 1,000, who's counting? I mean, Christ. When you blow them into bone and skin fragments because you are providing them security assistance, yeah, I would think a few people might want to investigate that. But, you know, investigations take a long time, and investigations tend to, get placed in some manila folder, and all of a sudden they're discovered 18 years later, they slip behind a filing cabinet. My goodness. But General Stanley McChrystal, our guy in Afghanistan, the guy that ran the assassination squads, God knows where, his public affairs officer says that McChrystal takes the possible loss of any innocent life seriously. The possible loss. Not the real loss, but the possible loss, because you never know. You know, the first casualty of war is truth, and General Stanley knows that. He does indeed. And according to Lieutenant Colonel Tad Schultes, the public affairs officer for General McChrystal, while General McChrystal will not rush to judgment on the facts, no, we don't do that. We don't do that in this man's army. Oh, no, we're the International Security Assistance Force. We won't rush to judgment, but General McChrystal is following the investigation very closely. Yes. Why do they hate us? What did Bush say? Because we own houses. And it turns out that we really didn't own the houses after all, huh? And this is interesting. The hijacked vehicles, the two tankers, became stuck in the such-and-such area of the such-and-such district while trying to cross the such-and-such river, according to so-and-so. Militants had commandeered the trucks, which were carrying fuel for NATO forces. People tried to empty fuel from the tankers when they couldn't go any further. With the trucks on the riverbank, the German commander of the NATO forces called in the airstrike around 2:30 a.m., the German military said. No German soldiers or planes were involved in the airstrike, but a German patrol made it to the site about 10 hours after the attack and came under small arms fire, the German military said. The patrol continued its investigation Friday afternoon. Jawohl, no German soldiers were involved in the airstrike. Nein! Das ist a lie! We were not there! We did not do this! Really? Well, it wasn't the Germans. It wasn't... I don't know who else has got military forces there. I thought about 96% of the forces in Afghanistan were American. They have, you know, maybe 17 Germans, 8 Poles, a few Bulgarians, maybe a Moldovan or two. A couple of people from Puerto Rico, and maybe one or two from El Salvador, and that is the NATO International Security Assistance Force. Remember the Coalition of the Willing? And you know, you question my cynicism? Well, don't. International Security Assistance Force. Now, what the investigation will find is, well, we were wrong. It wasn't 90 people that were killed. It's 127. And, the rumors of Taliban, Al-Qaeda, the rumors of the Taliban or the Al-Qaeda or the Taliban being among the crowd turned out to be, well, you never know. It's China, or it's Afghanistan. You never know. You never know what's real and what's just an illusion. But we have four or five investigations going on, and General McChrystal takes all of this very seriously. If anything did happen, if there was an incident, if people were killed, if, you know, we certainly take it all seriously. And Barack Obama is going to have to make a decision very soon as to whether or not to continue and escalate this lovely little war. Welcome back. It is almost 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to replay that montage of Beck madness that we find rather entertaining. Regarding the airstrike today in Afghanistan that resulted in early reports say 90 people dead, nobody knows how many were civilians, but apparently there were a lot of civilians because they had surrounded a couple of hijacked or commandeered fuel trucks that were intended to fuel the NATO war machine necessary to go create more destruction in Afghanistan. And apparently villagers surrounded these trucks getting fuel oil for their own use. And airstrikes were called in, and all sorts of people are now dead. And there are three or four investigations to find out, you know, how many are Taliban and how many are Taliban are fair game. They're the targets, I guess. I guess they are. I'm not sure what the Taliban has done, except they wouldn't allow UNICAL to build a pipeline across Afghanistan. But other than that, I'm not sure what the Taliban. Sure, they're religious crazy people, but so is Pat Robertson. So is every televangelist in America. So is Reverend Hagee. They're crazy religious freaks too. What? I'm not sure. Does anybody know what the Taliban did to us that resulted in our invading their country and killing them? And if you want to tell me, well, it's geopolitically strategic to us to be there because of Pakistan, then I will say to you, hogsnot. I mean, it's first of all, it's a non sequitur. Secondly, it makes no sense. Why are we in Afghanistan? Is it to establish military bases so that we've got military bases in Iraq? We have military bases in 190 countries. Why? So why are we in Afghanistan? Anybody know? Phones are open if you have an idea. William in Hollywood says, how are they going to tell from the tiny little bloody pieces if there was one Taliban in the 90s or if not many more? You know, these people, William writes, are being killed in a war for what? Do they have some way of telling who or what was they were thinking or feeling from brain cells splattered in the mud? I have yet to hear why we are still there, or what the mission is, or what the what outcome they expect. That's a fairly logical line of questioning, William. William says, it sticks me as sort of sick that we here in the U.S. of A. talk about health care, and then we kill for no reason other humans, all for the sake of what? A pipeline would be my guess. I don't see how we can have both and have a clear conscience as so-called Americans. William, well, the way we have a clear conscience in this country is we don't plug in to what we're doing. That's one of the reasons we don't have a compulsory military service in this country, because then word would get out about what we're doing. We have a volunteer force, and therefore it's very small, and we are not allowed to, for 8 years, not allowed to see pictures of our dead soldiers coming home, our wounded soldiers, our people who have been forever altered, if not killed, young people. Very seldom did we get to see the funeral pictures of the young, usually a young widow in her 20s or early 30s, being handed the triangular flag, the folded flag, with usually a couple of young children, 8, 7, 9, sitting there beside mom and grandma and grandpa, crying their eyes out because daddy's in that box. For what? Well, are they defending America? Are they preserving the U.S. Constitution? That's what they're sworn to do. Isn't that the only thing that the military is sworn to protect? Against enemies, foreign and domestic. What enemies do we have in Afghanistan? Apparently they're the Taliban, but what is the Taliban? Well, they're religious freaks. Well, what have they done to us? Well, they make people hate us. We have people hating us in Mexico. We have people that hate us in Canada. We have people that hate us in Costa Rica. I mean, come on, Cuba. God, don't start with a list of countries where people hate us. The program is not that long, Mike. It's very upsetting, isn't it? Very upsetting. Doug writes, Mike, I wanted to call, but my habit of using profanity when angry makes that impossible. Because I'm royally pissed off and tired and discouraged and really, really angry, I drink. I drink a lot more than most people. I drink really tasty, tasty tequila, and I love it. I've been drinking more and more recently. Could you say I'm an alcoholic? Perhaps. By any medical standard? Absolutely. But I can and do hold my alcohol quite well. Why all the booze reference? Well, alcoholics and addicts of all kind usually need to hit bottom before attempting recovery, and I guess this country is chock full of addicts who just haven't hit bottom yet. I felt the past 8 years pretty much knocked the wind out of the country's sails. Was I ever wrong? I can't believe what I'm about to say, but here goes. McCain should have won, period. This country deserves nothing more than what 4 or 8 years of McCain-Palin had to offer. And then maybe, after that period, maybe we could all hit bottom and start a real recovery, real change. But who am I kidding? The ignorant, zombie-like ass clowns in this country would probably just drop to their knees and take another 8 years of abuse from President Palin, loving every second of it. Just writing this has made me thirsty. Have a great Labor Day weekend, Doug. Yeah, remember several months ago, Kathy, or a year ago when I said, you know, I think progressives and Democrats ought to just stay home, let McCain have it, because this country is going to hit an absolute firestorm of problems. And, of course, I immediately got lots of emails from people saying, oh, how dare you? Oh, don't do that. No, don't give a okay. And sure, I realize the risk in allowing a crazy man like John McCain and a bimbo like the hoe from Wasilla, the two of them, to take over the country, at least the executive branch. But I wonder where we would be had they taken over. I wonder where, oh my God. What a thing to think about. Jerry's in Burbank, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Jerry.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, hey. Hi. That war on terror is
metamorphose to, you know, go after the Taliban and help the Unocal executive Karzai get the pipeline in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being used in, as an excuse to enlarge into Los Angeles with the domestic terrorists supposedly setting the fire. So in Los Angeles, so it's just a big ruse, like the war on drugs. Big excuse.
Yeah, you're probably right, Jerry, and that's the horrible part. Just one minor correction. I don't think Harvard Karzai was an executive at Unocal. I think he was a lobbyist for Unocal. And the way the story goes from that book by the French intelligence officers, what was the title of that book? The Hidden Truth. I think it was Bin Laden. The Hidden Truth. It came out way back in 2002. The book that was written by a couple of French journalists and a French intelligence officer. And it detailed, and if you heard this, I'm sorry, it detailed a trip made to Houston by high-ranking members of the Taliban. And various oil companies were there, including Unocal, with an offer. The offer was, we want to build a pipeline across your country into Pakistan to get the oil and natural gas out of the Kazakhstan area and in the stands, north and west of Afghanistan. And we will make you rich. And if you don't do it, we'll pave your streets with gold if you do it. If you don't do it, we will bomb you. And I'm sure they use more diplomatic language than that, but that was, according to the French writers, that was the gist of the message. And the Taliban said no. And well, we'll tell you what happened next. Stay with us.
He watches C-SPAN so you don't have to. It's more Mike Malloy.
All right. We, in an attempt to add a little levity to the program, before we come to your calls on Afghanistan, which I definitely want to do, so if you're on hold there, just stick around. But I want to play this this montage of Beckmania one more time. And the main reason for it is I'm trying to exercise this demonic presence out of my head, and this is about the only way I know how to do it. So here we go. 4 minutes of Mr. Beck in his own words.
The lunatic is on the ground.
Do you know who I am?
The lunatic is on the ground.
I'm going to lose my mind today.
I'm tired of being a sheep. We're going to transform into something. I am a clown. They all select their words first and then tie them all together into one word. Obama, the left, internationalists, graft, acorn, revolution and hidden agenda. O-L-I-G-A-R-H. I don't know if we're turning into an oligarchy or what we're turning into.
Got to wake up! Barack Obama's making people faint and cry, and he's drawing people in.
I don't want to have to live with security and walls. You think I want to live that way? Do you think I want to get on the air every night and tell you this stuff? I am tired of being a victim. I'm tired of being pushed around. You gotta know you're not alone. You gotta know. You gotta unite. And here are the onion domes of Moscow, and it's very peaceful here. Oh, down here is, looks like Karl Marx. I am a guy who just, I just want to have laughs and fun. So you have the hammer and the sickle, you have the artwork to Mussolini there, here in New York at Rockefeller Plaza. And in plain sight, for all these years, during the height of the Cold War, hammer and sickle and the fascist Mussolini carved there in Rockefeller Plaza. Then you have disease.
There's someone in my head, but it's not me.
This is disease. Right above syphilis is right here. Oh, Rockefeller. I will give you a plan. I will tell you exactly.
You shall, no one seems to.
When will we listen? I am willing to forego the cheap satisfaction of the radical pose for the deep satisfaction of the radical ends. It makes sense that you feel a little uneasy and everything seems to be a little hidden. It's not if you look. Are white people poisoning people of color? Yes or no? I'm trying to show you the things that seem to be hidden, but they're not. They are out in plain sight. Those with eyes will not see, and those with ears will not hear.
You people don't care about the trillions.
You're awake. You need to see the things that are hidden in plain sight. He might be the Antichrist. Odds that Barack Obama is the Antichrist.
Get off my phone!
Do you know who I am?
Yes. Oh my God. That's insane. That is Glenn Beck. Regarding Afghanistan, BJ writes in, come on, Mike, we're there to take the poppies. The Taliban almost had the opium crop eradicated. Where else can the CIA get their money for their black operations? You think that's what it is? And regarding what Kathy just played for you, Michael in Roswell has a pretty good analysis of what Beck does and how it is effective on the brainless people who seem to cluster around Beck the way people clustered around Jim Jones, or the way people cluster around anyone who is hell-bent on either individual suicide, possibly, or mass suicide, probably. I guess there is something very attractive about that. Well, you've got to go read Eric Hoffer's The True Believer. If you read The True Believer, it might answer some questions. When we come back, we're going to do podcast trivia. So if you're on hold, we will give you a shot at it. And we will just work in podcast trivia with the call. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour, it's time once again for Malloy Program Podcast Trivia, where you can win a free 1-year subscription to download The Molloy Show, sans commercials, into your iPod, your electric comb, your computer, your whatever. Yeah, somebody sent me an email and said, Mike, you ought to tell them they don't need to have an iPod, or they can just listen. All you have to do is answer the question that we are going to give you correctly. It's multiple choice, which is always the easiest, right? All right, where's our list of questions? Here they are. All right, let's start with Ben, who's in Buena Park, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Ben.
Oh, Mike, this is so nice to play this game. I'm already a podcast member, but, you know, I've been trying to cut down on my budget. So, you know, cause I'm at the $7.95 a month. And I tell you what, just as a promo, I'm listening to the bumper music.
Uh-huh.
So nice. I forgot about that. When I'm listening on the Internet, I don't have to listen to all those rancid commercials.
Well, remember, it's the commercials that keep us going. But that's all right. No, I understand.
But I'm always listening to them.
Yeah,
know?
No, that's okay.
I keep them on the background,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. All right, so you're going to switch from the $7.95 to the free one. yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, I want to play podcast trivia.
Okay.
There was a question earlier that the reason I would have got it wrong is because I didn't know that Chuckle Nuts new or conjunction types of nouns, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. All right, you ready?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, let's start the music. All right, here you go, Ben. What college activity do former Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott and former President George W. Bush share in common? Here are your choices. A, they were both members of Phi Beta Kappa Honor Society. B, they were both cheerleaders. C, they were both... They were both Sigma Nu fraternity members, or D, they both held beer keg funneling records at Ole Miss and Yale.
B,
they were both cheerleaders. All right! Yes!
I didn't know Trent Lott was a cheerleader. Scott, I knew George Bush wasn't those other things.
Oh, yeah, Trent Lott was cute as hell. He really was. He was just a sweetheart over at Ole Miss. You see him in that white sweater with that great big M on it, and you just want to go, Trent. Hey, Trent.
Hey, I had a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, you're talking about how to exercise.
Glenn Beck,
yeah. And doesn't it seem that life is just a whole process of exorcism? You know, it's like the person you finally end up with, like your wife, is somebody that you already are well acquainted with their demons because you've seen them before. You know what I mean? And Glenn Beck, he's just throwing himself out there just like you and I. We throw ourselves out there, too. It's like I'm thinking that, you know how they got PDA, public display of affection?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It bothers people. Well, what about PDGA, public display of gay affection? See, don't you think the people start to loosen up?
Yeah, probably so.
Hey, about Afghanistan, I want to tell you about Afghanistan. The reason we're going to Afghanistan is because they want to make it, they want to establish it and get it so that it's like a self-sovereign, what they can call a sovereign nation, because I think the hills of Kunduz are really supposed to be a nice luxury, you know, vacation spot.
Is that it? Maybe a Taliban-style Disneyland or something built out of it? Yeah, yeah, or Disney World.
I'm sorry you had to blurb that out, because watch what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Ben, I'm going to put you on hold, pal, and Kathy's going to get the pertinent information. Congratulations, I'm glad you won. Now you can stop with the $7.95. What do they do? I think they ding your credit card, but now we will notify them to stop dinging Ben's credit card. We'll do another one, bottom of the next hour. The Foxhole Atheist sent me an email where it concerns the body count, the Taliban. He says, Mike, everyone is thinking like a normal person in regard to body counts conducted by the military. Here's how they will do it. They count all the dead, regardless of age or gender. Then they subtract 10%. The 90% is Taliban, and the 10% are the acceptable civilian casualties, case closed. Yeah, I would not be surprised. We just can't seem to get away from butchering civilians, going all the way back to getting involved in the Philippine War for Liberation that we stymied and brought about eventually the Marcos regime. And yes, we can go back to genocidal operations in the United States, but where it concerns our foreign misbehavior, our going to other people's countries and murdering them, which is all it is. This stuff, you know, and what happened in the Spanish-American War was something that the corporate power structure in this country demanded. William Randolph Hearst said, you give me the pictures and I'll give you the war. Now, regarding a couple of emails here. Regarding Beck's, that montage that Kathy put together, Michael in Roswell, New Mexico writes, interesting stuff from Beck. This little diatribe is fairly carefully constructed to meld, mostly by juxtaposition, many of the various undifferentiated angers out there, from economic anger of the unemployed to the banks rule the world crowd to the conspiracists to the right-wing anti-communists to the racists, and to focus all those disparate angers on Obama. Plus, Beck's tacking on all the right buzzwords, just lining them up for his viewers to take pot shots at. Acorn, oligarchy, all that stuff, in no particular order. Juxtaposition is a very powerful, effective, and rhetorically deceitful technique, and he's employing it quite well, even though to us it sounds like madness. To his listeners, it sounds like the truth. Most of the reasons for the complaints he's citing are the product of right-wing and corporate activity over 30 years or more, but he's simply chopping off past history from view and talking as if all this started the day Obama was elected, and most of his listeners won't notice this sleight of hand because what he's saying agrees with their prejudices, nor will they notice that Beck is an extraordinarily well-paid representative of the very same system, the oligarchy, that he's decrying, because he's saying, I'm just like you, when in fact, that's grossly untrue. To my mind, this is a rather cynical and calculated variant on the Howard Beale routine. Beale in the movie Network was mad as a March hare, but he stirred up all sorts of anger in his viewers and ratings went up. Beck is just borrowing the shtick. But he's not crazy. This all seems like madness, but it's by design, not accident. That's why the end effects on his viewers will be more dangerous than we might otherwise anticipate. Michael. Yeah, the other reason we put together this montage, this sound montage, is because this is it for me with Beck. I mean, he disgusts me. He turns my stomach. But we've had enough Beck mania here on the Molloy program. When we come back from 5 days off, we are not going to revisit this at all. At all. A couple more emails and back to your calls here. This is from, who's this from? Chip. Mike, my brother is a public high school teacher in the Orlando, Florida area, and he received the announcement below from his principal regarding the Obama address to students next week. I wanted to share this with you so that you may pass it on to your listeners. It seems like those in positions of authority are backing down to the fringe on every issue, which is quite telling as to who really has the authority and the power. Chip in Portland. Now, this is signed by the principal of this high school. Should I say it? I guess I can say it. Frank Casillo, or Casillo. Frank Casillo, principal, Lyman High School. It says, subject, important announcement. President Obama will be making a speech at 12 p.m. Tuesday, September 8th. We will prepare CDs of the speech and provide a copy for those of you who would like to show it to your students. You are not to have your students view this speech live. Please notify your students in advance of the day you will show the webcast, and if you have a parent who wants a student exempted, or if you have students who do not want to view this speech, you are to send them to the media center for the first 15 minutes of class, while the rest of the class views the speech. Viewing must be completed by Friday, September 11th. If an individual student wishes to see the webcast, they may sign out the disc and view it in the media center just as they would a magazine article. All faculty and staff must adhere to the conditions mentioned above. Again, all caps, do not have your students watching the live web coverage of this speech. Thanks for your cooperation with this matter. Principal of Lyman High School. And this comes from a teacher who's asked me not to use her name, so I will not. Mike, I've never called into a talk show or even emailed one, but I felt compelled to do so tonight. You may read this on the air, but please don't use my name. As an elementary school teacher in a Delaware public school, I was shocked and appalled to learn yesterday from our superintendent that teachers will not be permitted to show the president's address to our classes on Tuesday. We were told that the decision was in the best interest of the community. I have read about the address and accompanying teacher's guide and could not find anything controversial or even political about it. What is in it are the values and attitudes about school that, as a teacher, I encourage in my classrooms every day. Agree with him or not, he is the President of the United States, and the office should always be treated with respect. I cannot help but wonder if a speech or address from any previous president has ever been banned by the school district. Somehow I doubt it. Let me finish this when we come back. I didn't realize we were close to a break. We'll be right back.
And I am not at the wheel of control. And I am guilty, I am war, and I am the root of all evil. Lord, and I can't drive on the left side of the road. This is a hard life, it's a hard life, it's a very hard life. It's a hard life wherever you go. And if we poison our children with hate.
Oops, 10 before the hour. Back to the letter from a teacher in Delaware who's an elementary school teacher in a Delaware public school. She was shocked to learn from her superintendent that teachers will not be permitted to show the president's address in the classes on Tuesday. And as she writes, we were told that the decision was in the best interest of the community. I've read about the address and accompanying teacher's guide and could not find anything controversial or political about it. What is in it are the values and attitudes about school that, as a teacher, I encourage in my classroom every day. Agree with him or not, he is the President of the United States, and the office should always be treated with respect. I can't not help but wonder if a speech or address from any previous president has ever been banned by the school district. Somehow, I doubt it. I wonder what's different about this president. I wonder what message this decision will send to our numerous African-American students and their families. The speech could have had such a positive effect on the very students we teachers work so hard every day to teach. I can't help but think of the little African-American boy in my fifth grade class last year who had a particular spring in his step on the morning after the election. When I remarked on his good mood, he replied, "I'm just glad to be here." When I asked him to explain, he said, "I know that if I get my education, I can be anything when I grow up." The ignorant Fox News drones who call school districts don't care about little black children from the hood believing they can grow up to be something great any more than they care about health care plans or public education or anything else that might actually help someone less fortunate. They are nothing more than closeted racists, and they're becoming more brazen every day. Unlike Bush, Obama was legitimately elected, yet these individuals wish to undermine him at every turn, drum up hate, and compare him to Hitler, Saddam Hussein, and the Antichrist. And I'm afraid that the worst is still to come. What are they teaching our children? And then her name, which I will leave off as she requested. It's not just that. That was from Delaware, and we had another one here from Florida, right? Where'd that one go? Did I read that one already? Huh? I think I did. It's astonishing stuff. The President of the United States, and I mean, he was elected by a fairly substantial majority. Who are these school superintendents responding to? These brain-dead, sick, loudmouth, right-wing parents? Can you imagine what it'd be like to be a child in a family like that? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. John is in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hey, John.
Good evening.
Hi.
Your memory stole my thunder a little bit. You had asked about the war in Afghanistan and what was going on. The book you were recalling so very well is called Forbidden Truth.
Forbidden
by
Truth.
Rizard and Dust Decay.
There you go.
Okay. Anyhow, here in Fayetteville, we had our right-wing newspaper. We noticed today is being merged with a further right newspaper, that we will have only one paper in town. And a book I read recently about consolidation of the industry into five mega corporations who control the news kind of boiled over with me today when I was in the gym. I don't have a television, but they have one. They have them all over the gym walls. And I saw the picture of what news is like today on CNN. And I saw in Iraq one of our troopers in his really nifty uniform patting some kids on the head. And another trooper was riding around in a really neat-looking Humvee-type vehicle with a big smile on his face. And it looked like they were having a really good time over there. And I got to thinking back. In the Vietnam War, when I came in every day and there was gore and blood splattered all over the TV from Viet Cong having their brains blown out and all kinds of things like that, enough that it made the people so mad that they ended the war. Now, there's no way for the people to get mad.
Did you happen to see, there is a picture that the Associated Press released. It's a picture of a Marine fatally wounded in a battle in Afghanistan. He is Lance Corporal Josh Bernard, 21, of New Portland, Maine. He was struck by a rocket-propelled grenade in a Taliban ambush August 14th in southern Afghanistan. And the picture, if you've not seen the picture, it's available all over the web, but it's a picture of three or four other Marines who are assisting their comrade who's been shot, and it's a color picture, and you can see the blood coming from his midsection. You know, he's a wounded soldier. There's blood on his uniform, and apparently now the right wing is going absolutely insane, because when our boys go overseas to fight for corporate America, we are not supposed to know about the ones who are killed. That's up to the families. We are not supposed to know about the ones that are wounded. That's up to the VA. We, that is 95, 98, 99% of us Americans who have no dog in this fight, so to speak, we're not supposed to know anything. During the Bush years, we weren't even allowed to see the caskets coming home to was Andrews Air Force Base. So it's astonishing. They will show the pictures of the GIs patting a kid on the head. But when that same GI gets his legs blown off, or worse, gets killed because he is someplace where our military shouldn't be, then we're not supposed to see that, John.
Exactly. And the thing that really spooks me out is, if that's not enough corporate domination, this coming Wednesday, I think it is, the Hillary the movie issue goes before the Supreme Court.
Before the Supreme Court,
And I have great fear about how that's going to turn out.
I do too, because a decision handed down by the Supreme Court that says this campaign video against Hillary Clinton when she was running for president, put together by a corporation, if that's protected speech, and the implications of a ruling will be that corporate money can go anywhere it wants, unrestricted, unchecked, into our already dead political system. John, I have to leave you there. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. back. It's 7 past the hour on the Malloy Show. Brad Friedman will be sitting in for me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday coming. So be nice, all right? He is working Monday, Labor Day, right? Yeah, okay. Oh, Brad. Anyway, he'll be in for me next week. We're going to take 5 days off because that's it for us until the end of the year. Before we go back to... Let's do a couple of calls real quick here. Pam's been holding on forever. Hey, Pam.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Listen, you were talking about Afghanistan and what's going on down there. And the three words that pop into my mind are, well, number one, hegemony. Number two, profligacy. And number three would be oligarchy. I've been reading a book, and I would normally not even discuss a book on talk radio, but this book has been an eye-opener for me. I'm only halfway through it. It's by Andrew Bacevich, called The Limits of Power. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I have, yes.
Have you read it?
I haven't, no. I'm so stacked up. I'm just getting through The Family and... what's the other one I'm reading about? Fascism. But, yeah, I've heard of that book. I understand it's an excellent book. Really is an eye-opener, huh?
This is the most honest book. This man considers himself a conservative, but to me, he's just a statesman that calls it like it is.
Uh-huh.
And, this is, what's going on in Afghanistan is truly nothing but, gaining access to resources. He doesn't really go into that so far. I'm only halfway through it, but I really highly recommend it to everybody out there that's listening. I have never been so absolutely shocked and an eye-opener ever, and I read a lot. And the other thing I wanted to say is that email you read by that teacher in Delaware. We're having the same thing going on here in Podunk, Arizona.
Really?
It is horrific. I went to see my president at a high school in Mesa, which is a Mormon and conservative stronghold outskirt of Phoenix.
Right.
And not only was I not treated very well by the police department there for that day, but they announced that that high school would not be hearing the president that they hosted. This is unprecedented.
Yeah, that's astonishing. That's where he spoke, and now they're not gonna allow the kids to hear his internet or C-SPAN, whichever it is, internet speech, I guess, right?
Right. It's going to be on C-SPAN, and I can't think of any. If you want to hear anything nonpartisan or see anything nonpartisan, C-SPAN is where to go. That's where I tell all these conservative freaks to go to get some information that, you know, is not tainted. But I'll tell you, we're hurting down here in Arizona. And by the way, there was a release in the statement today in the Arizona Republic that the governor of Arizona, Jan Brewer, is getting ready to sign, and this is scary, anybody on welfare in our state has to submit to drug testing. Okay?
How about anybody who's the CEO of an Arizona corporation? No, that'll never happen.
Another radio host brought up earlier today, and how about every single person in our state Congress? We're hurting down here, Mike.
Yeah, well,
it's
not just there, Pam.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like, I mean, I would expect this from Georgia or Alabama or Texas, but holy cow, we're in it. Thank you. I'm a member. I subscribe, and I just thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Pam. I appreciate what you had to say. You know, when you say you'd expect it from Georgia, Alabama, and Texas, you're absolutely right. Not only would you expect it, but you get it. You ought to try living here. But I love the mountains, and I love the seashore. I love the weather. Oh, my God. Phoenix, Mesa, Arizona. The right-wingers really went nuts. They really did, didn't they? And the racists and the Mormons and the Christians and the rest of these just incredibly ignorant freaks. A black man president. No, 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 no. That is contrary to the natural order. Son of a bitch. I'm jumping around here regarding the attack on the huge crowd of civilians in Afghanistan who were trying to liberate fuel oil. Reggie writes, and NATO tried to cover it up. According to Reuters news agency, NATO initially said it believed the casualties were all Taliban fighters, but later acknowledged that large numbers of wounded civilians were being treated in hospitals in the area. They would have covered this up if they'd been able to do that. Sounds like business as usual. Yeah, it is. It is business as usual. And where it concerns this war stuff, it's very clear that Obama is not running any part of it. He is not the commander-in-chief. Neither was Reagan, neither was Chucklenuts Bush, for that matter. Neither was Clinton. They don't make these decisions, nor does the Congress. These decisions are made by corporate America, and the instructions, in a non-threatening way, are handed off up the chain until they get to the president's desk. This is what the policy will be, Mr. President. You know that, and I know it. Come on. Kay, our education affairs correspondent, writes in. This is not one of Kay's, what do we call her pieces? Report card. This is just an email. She writes, Mike, I only heard the first few minutes of last night's show on the podcast this morning, but oh my God, the ignorance and vitriol around the president's upcoming address to school children is unbelievable. According to them, they don't want their children to be, quote, politically indoctrinated, end quote, by President Obama, as if talking to kids about doing well in school is indoctrination. Meanwhile, I wonder if these same people kept their kids from watching President Bush's many speeches about the war on terror. I wonder how many of their kids enlisted in the military after hearing Bush's call to arms against the evildoers. And I wonder how many of those kids have come back from Iraq and Afghanistan with limbs blown off, PTSD, or have not come back at all. The double standard is incredible. And there's some more here, but that's the part. It is shocking. This is very unfamiliar territory to me, as it is to most people, to have a pep talk about staying in school and getting an education by the President of the United States being blocked by school boards and school superintendents and you know, teachers who are left standing there with their mouths hanging open, like, what? This is the president. Unbelievable stuff. There was a town hall meeting not far from the studio here in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains in Suwanee, Georgia. Suwanee is way down upon the Suwanee River, but it's not that. That's in Florida, I think. Oh, to hell with it. But there was a town hall meeting by two right-wing Republicans, John Linder and Tom Price. They are part of the Georgia delegation to the U.S. House of Representatives. John Linder is an absolute failure. Tom Price is a madman. I mean, he's crazy like most Republicans. But one of our listeners, Torin, was there and has written about it. We're going to share this email with you when we come back. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Small, and the ones that
It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Irish Dave wants me to crack just a couple things here. The quotation from the book Forbidden Truth was the Taliban was told we would carpet your country with gold or with bombs. And the coffins of American military dead come to Dover Air Force Base in Delaware, not Andrews, in outside D.C., like I said. Thanks, Irish Dave. Now, this meeting, or this town hall, boy, has the term town hall meeting been totally corrupted now, right? Anyway, it was in Suwanee, Georgia. Dear Mike, please pass the word on the town hall meeting sponsored by U.S. Representative Republicans John Linder and Tom Price on September 3rd, last night in Suwanee. After hearing the speakers from the audience and Representatives Linder and Price, I felt I was attending a health care lynching that had all the resemblances of a white lynch mob that wanted to literally and figuratively hang President Obama. When white folk in the audience referred to Obama as a communist or a Marxist or a socialist, it was really code words for racial epithets. There were thinly veiled threats against his life. He was the subject of hate-mongering and hate to the degree that I've not felt or seen in many years. It reminded me of 1987, if I remember correctly, when my wife and I traveled to Cumming, Georgia, Forsyth County, to join the largest civil rights march since the 1960s. I was there too, torn, as a matter of fact. I was working for WSB, and I went. So, yeah, I remember that. I think there were 25,000 people there. Anyway, back to Torrin. There were protesters of this march dressed in KKK and Nazi regalia, as well as local folk who used their index finger in a certain direction and manner to indicate their displeasure with our activities. I think it was their middle finger. I was sickened by the demagoguery and hatred, but mostly by the sick smirks at the meeting of Representative Linder and Price, who seemed to relish the personal and poorly disguised racial attacks on President Obama. I have no doubt that these white folks, who are not just Southerners, but also Yankees that have moved to the Atlanta area, these folks found their manna from heaven at this town hall meeting, an opportunity to vent all their demons in a poisonous and sickening manner. Of course, there were several references to illegal immigrants, and they really do not count anyway in determining who should be provided health care. Please let your audience know about this. We still have good people in Georgia, but they are mostly drowned out by the sick, evil bastards of the Republican right wing. Torrin in Lawrenceville. Yeah, I remember that march well. The presence of paratroopers in the United States Army and state troopers from three states and 25,000 people saying no to the racism in Forsyth County. As far as Linder and Price are concerned, yeah, Torrin's absolutely right. These are not town hall meetings on health care, because the Republicans are not involved in this. They will do nothing to do this. They have no plan. They have no objective other than to destroy Obama, and that's all they're about. So, yeah, it's just a hate fest. I swear to God, what's going on is just pretty upsetting, and I'll tell you why. I might as well be honest with you. I'll tell you why it's upsetting. On the one hand, I just want to run away from this, you know? I really do. I just want to take my family and leave this country permanently. That feeling is really pronounced. The other feeling, the one that really upsets me, because I'm not a violent person. I scream a lot, but I'm not a violent person. The other part of me is almost in that mode of bring it on. I am so sick of this stuff. I am so ready to take up a weapon and fight for my country against other people who claim this is their country. Now, isn't that sick? That's how furious this whole thing has made me. I really do believe that we have crossed that point of no return, where there's no going back at this point. How is the damage that the Republican Party and the ultra-conservatives and the militia types and the NRA and the Christian right, how is all this damage that they've done, how is it to be undone? I mean, who among the remaining rational people in this country actually believe that with a little bit of passage of time, a little bit of effort, this stuff will all quiet down? It's been going the other direction ever since Reagan. And I really do think that this country is heading for some kind of serious violence. I do. And that evil part of me, that part that I thought I had totally conquered and totally put back to sleep, apparently haven't been very successful. That part of me is really sitting back there in the darkness saying, bring it on. Just bring it on. And I don't like that. You know, I'm not comfortable with that at all. We'll be back. Before the hour, this is the Malloy Show. This is Tony in Los Angeles. Hey, Tony, are you a podcast subscriber?
Yeah, I was, but like brother said earlier, got time. It was getting a little hard. But
all right, well, I'll tell you what. How would you like to win a free one?
Oh, love to.
All right, I'm going to give you a quote. Let's play the music. Play the music, Gabby. Here's the... Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's time for podcast trivia with Tony in Los Angeles, or something like that. All right, enough on the music. All right, now you know how this works. I'll ask you the question. You'll have multiple choice answer here. And if you win, you get a free 1-year subscription. You just download it into your computer. You don't need an iPod or anything. You just download it into your computer, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Complete this quote from George W. Chucklenuts Bush.
Oh, God.
He said, rarely is the question asked, A, what is our children learning? B, why is the sky blue? C, when will Saddam unarm himself? D, where are the weapons of mass construction? What did he say? Did he say, what is our children learning? Rarely is the question asked, what is our children learning? Why is the sky blue? When will Saddam unarm himself? And what are the weapons of mass construction?
A.
What is our children learning?
Mm-hmm.
I think you've done it, Tony!
Oh, yay.
There you go.
I'm so happy.
All right, now before we hang up, I'm going to put you on hold, and Kathy's going to get all the information, and... you'll get this, I guess the way it works, every morning it'll be in your email. Is that how it works, Kathy? Oh, you'll get a password. And not only do you get the free downloads, but you also get Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag, which is really, really bad. I'm just telling you right now.
I love it, though.
Okay, I'm telling you, the language of some of these people that write to me, and I just read what they've written. So anyway, so when I put you on hold, then Kathy will get the information. Now, you called
about one comment?
Yeah, you called about Obama. Let's do your call. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that as far as your frustration, well, you my blue-eyed soul brother, so you already know how to deal with the stress. We've been dealing with that forever. What you have to do is just take it and push it into something else more positive. What I look at is more of the so-called progressive folks, because even some of them are tripping as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
You know, the man just been in office 8 months.
Mm.
You know, we know what we're dealing with. So they will kill you.
That's
okay.
Right. That's right.
And number two, the thing is, push back, you know, against them. They get off all the time because we let them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? All we got to do is push back, let all the Democrats know if you don't vote for the single, you know, public option,
right,
you're out of here.
Right.
Do that. Also, you know, get a man a little time. We got 4 more years. It's kind of like in street vernacular that you do know, it's ride or die.
That's
Are
right.
you going to be with him? And at least he's got 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 2012, what you got to do? But right now, you got to ride or die because that's all we got. You know what I mean? And who you rolling with.
That's right. You know, I do know. You know, right after the attack on September 11, 2001, where people were just absolutely losing it all over the country,
mm-hmm.
and rightly so. I mean, it was real scary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on the air because I had a conversation with a couple of friends that day. And I went on the air that night or the next day or whatever. And I said, I tried to do my little 2 cents worth to,
right,
to calm people down. But what I said was, the easiest way to handle this, if you're a white person, is to find yourself a black friend real quick, because they will be able to tell you how to deal with this horrible thing that has happened in this country. And I got a lot of people that wrote me letters and said, you know, you're a traitor to your race. You know, what are you talking about? Yada, yada, yada. Sure. And the point I was trying to make is exactly what you just made now.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Steve, rest his soul, who was my best friend for about 14 years, happened to be a black guy, but he used to tell me stories, and he said, Malloy, when I was a kid growing up, all of us black boys always had to get us a white boy. And I said, what do you mean, get you a white boy? He said, well, that was, you know, we had our black friends. All our friends were black, but we all had to get at least one white boy.
Right.
And I said, why did you have to have one white boy? And he explained to me why. And I'm sitting there going, I'll be damned. You know, that makes perfect sense. So.
Right.
And
all the progressives, all the good white folks out there, they're just going to have to, they're seeing it for themselves. You know, when we say how hateful so many people are, oh, that was in the past.
No, it's not.
They can see it.
No, it's never in the past.
No.
But I would recommend once again, like I did 7, 8 years ago, my goodness, it doesn't seem that long ago, if white people are really shook up, get yourself a black friend and sit down and talk, and they'll explain it to you. All right, Tony, I'm going to put you on hold.
Thank you.
And Kathy will get the information. And regarding what Tony just said about the pushback, Tom in Joshua Tree emailed regarding teachers in the school board. And, you know, all these teachers that are freaking out because they're being ordered not to play Obama's speech. Tom writes, Mike, this teacher stuff standing around their mouths open while the Republicans crap in it is for the birds. Why are they taking it? Why don't they put their education where their mouths are and show the damn speech? It's sort of like all the women complaining about how men take away their rights. When only 25% of eligible women vote for progressive issues and candidates, the rest, well, they just give their rights away and then bitch and moan. If only 10 or 20% of the liberal political apathetics had voted back in 2001 or whenever, we would not have been at war and the economy would not have collapsed. Instead, the liberal apathetics blame the Republicans, the teachers blame the school board, the teachers blame the school board, the women blame the men, Well, what men? But this is the way it is in America. Cowards, sheeple without conscience. Maybe Senator Graham was right. We are a country of whiners. As an aside, imagine for a moment what the world would look like if the people had control of the people's airwaves and meetings. Solidarity and community movements such as drug testing for welfare recipients would never take place because there would be strikes, shutdowns, and people demanding a country of the people, not the bourgeois or the corporatists only. And there'd be no Beck, no Fox, and no Republican operatives filling the hard, no, not the hard, hardball shows, the no balls shows. Tom. Yeah, that's a good point. Of course it is, you know, the teachers, and I guess the quick answer from the teachers who are putting up with this would be, look, we have to do this. We have to follow the directives. We don't have a choice. You know, we'll be fired. If we don't follow orders, we'll be fired. And that's probably true, but, you know, I've been fired from so goddamn many radio jobs because I wouldn't follow orders. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying anybody else should do that. But, no, I get your point, Tom, and I think everybody else does too. Let me see here. I had another one I wanted to share with you, but, damn things disappeared. Okay. Mark is in San Francisco listening on Green 960. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good, Mike. Considering the fact that the Bush administration wasn't prosecuted or investigated so far for all their crimes, That's where we are today.
That's right.
You know, I mean, either Eric Holder's going to do something or this country's just going to go to hell in a handbasket in a hurry. Because I'm like you, Mike. I'm a love, peace, and happiness guy, but I've had enough.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just over the top. I'm ready to do whatever I got to do to stick up for what I believe in, and it's not the Republican agenda.
Yeah, I hear that loud and clear. Yeah.
You know, Mike, and if we don't prosecute the Bush crime family, if we let this go, I'll tell you, I hate to think what's going to happen in the next few months. This right-wing echo machine has cultivated these crazies and these birthers. And they're getting away with it because there's no prosecution for the criminals that were in there for 8 years who are the real Nazis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got people in this country that are just, they just don't know what's going on. But if we were to open up these cases and start investigating and prosecuting the Bush crime family, we wouldn't have this craziness. It wouldn't be happening. The right-wing echo machine would be defending the criminals.
Right. Well, that's what Tony just said about pushback. That's what Tom emailed about, you know, why are teachers standing around with their mouths open? Why not fight back? That's what you're saying. And it's the conclusion I'm coming to also that, you know, pushback or saying, no, this is enough. We've had enough. This is not going to go any further.
And the pushback, Mike, is us demanding that these people be prosecuted for destroying this country.
I hear you.
Stealing and killing our own people.
Yeah, and you know, the really weird part, Mark, is that this right-wing echo machine has taken the word Nazi and fascist and turned it around. It's so obvious who the fascists and the corporatists are, who the whores are, no offense to sex workers, who they're working for, but, you know, the biggest corporate whores on earth. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck managed to convince everybody else that the liberals are that way. Hey, thanks, Mark. I got to go. I appreciate what you had to say, pal. Ben Burr, Sharon Gordy, Bruce Enberg, Kate Petrini, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and Catherine Bay, who is the executive producer of the program. Input or technical assistance from all of those people is part of the fabric of the program. Sometimes it is not noticeable because I don't always say their names when something that they've contributed pops up in the show, but we're incredibly grateful to the input that that little group of six or seven people provide. Stephen is in Burbank, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Stephen.
Hi, Mike. I think I might help you out a little bit with this perspective about Glenn Beck.
Yeah?
The deal is, I think he sees himself as a flat-out loser. He's a failure because he failed to incite a riot where people got beaten up or, you know, some kind of a gang fight or stuff like that, you know?
And he hasn't caused anybody to kill anybody yet like Bill O'Reilly has.
Exactly. And Greg McKendry had this murder by a right-wing terrorist. I believe there was Sean Hannity material found in his apartment.
Uh-huh.
And he just feels he's a loser.
Yeah.
And he knows he's a loser. He knows he's a failure. He knows he's getting money for nothing because that's what he thinks his job is to help destroy America, and he's a failure at it. And not only that, I thought when he was crying, I thought he felt guilty about destroying the country, but the deal is a psychopath doesn't have a conscience. They couldn't care less.
Right.
The only time a psychopath cries is when he's crying for himself. And every time you see him cry, he's crying for himself because he knows he's a failure. He knows he's a loser. And if you keep that thought in your head, yeah, why should I think about a stupid idiot loser? You know, this guy's a clown. He's an idiot, you know?
I understand and I agree with that. And like I said, I'm going to purge myself over the next 5 days to get this scum sucker out of my head. But the thing about Beck that is noticeable to me is the effect that he or any demagogue has on people who are so weak, so directionless, so scared, so cowardly that they gravitate toward a demagogue like Glenn Beck. And it's very clear to me what's going to happen. Beck is going to inspire somebody to take a shot at President Obama, literally a shot at President Obama. And it's going to be either Glenn Beck and or Hannity and or Limbaugh and or the rest of these thugs. They're the ones who are deliberately and consciously trying to motivate somebody to kill not just the country, but to attack the President of the United States. And they won't be happy until that happens. As a matter of fact, Brooke in Indiana writes, Mike, where in the hell are we living? I was scared when Bush and the neo-fascists were in office, but I think I may be even more scared now that they're not. The gun-toters, the town hall meetings, the Hitler signs, the birthers, and now my school in northern Indiana just informed us we are not allowed to watch the president's address to school children on Tuesday due to parent complaints. These people won't be happy until he is dead. The blatant racism is unbelievable. Why else can we not watch the president? Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really, really bizarre and weird and frustrating. It is indeed. Andy is, oh no. Andy, I can't do it. There's too much noise on your call, pal. I just can't do it. Kathy, you want to pick it up and see if he's, see if the noise is still there? But I can't put that call in the air. Is it still? All right, let's try again. Andy?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. There was an awful lot of static when I took your call. Hi.
How about now? Is that better?
Yeah, that's a lot better. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I tried to call him 2 nights ago. You were ranting about Pat Robertson, and I wanted to cheer you up.
Okay.
I figured out how to bring that Bleepsy Bleep to a screeching halt when I was a little boy, and my mouth-breathing family thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
To take us on a family vacation and start it at a 700 Club taping or CBN taping, whatever the heck he called himself.
Oh, no. That's how you started your vacation?
Oh, a family vacation, you know, after school, you know, after the school year. Doesn't that sound horrific? And, I wasn't that happy about it.
No, no.
So I'm lactose intolerant, so I drank a bunch of milk and I think some ice cream.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, we got right when Robertson started praying for more money from the, yeah, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
Lord, please give me your money. But I just let a bunch of them go right into the microphone, like, and he stopped praying abruptly and got off the stage, just got off.
No, he didn't interrupt his conversation with his Lord and Savior, did he?
Yes, I did. Me and my rectum sure did. And
rectum? I'd say it damn near killed him.
That's right.
There you go.
We had to leave. Mission accomplished. That's a banner you can hang.
All right. Thanks, Andy. I appreciate that. Oh, my goodness. All right. We don't have enough time left to take any more calls. If you're on hold, I'm sorry. We're just going to have to leave it there. Again, I'll be off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Most people are off Monday, I guess, at least in this weird medium of talk radio. So in addition to Labor Day, we'll be off Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And all five of those nights, Brad Friedman will be filling in for me from the KTLK studios. Is that where Brad? Okay, from the West Coast, from Los Angeles. So tune in. Brad always does a very good job. He has an entirely different approach from me, from my approach to talk radio. He puts very intelligent, rational guests on, which is cool. I wish I could do that. But anyway, tune in, enjoy Brad, be nice, and I'll see you when we get back. All right, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Oh, yeah. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney. Wherever you are, I know where Kevin Kinney's going to be. He's going to be in downtown Atlanta tomorrow. Take care.